Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and we're going to continue with our examination of the reemergence of German fascism and ultranationalism. We have been relying in previous segments on information from a pamphlet called Reunited Germany, The New Danger. This is put out by the Searchlight magazine, a British anti-fascist publication, in cooperation with the German Antifa Infoblatt activist and anti-fascist association. We've been talking about not only the transformation of the Bundeswehr, the German military, into an offensive force, but the coordination of German national security, political, and economic policy. In our last segments, we were taking a look at how German investment in the former Warsaw Pact countries and in the countries that emerged from the former Soviet Union is not intended at creating modern market economies, but rather at achieving political control over those countries, specifically strategic industries such as energy supplies, transportation, telecommunications, and the public opinion-forming media are being bought up by the Germans as vehicles for effecting political control in those areas. We're going to begin the text in this segment by recapping the last couple of paragraphs from the last segment, summing up German economic policy as it relates to German political and national security policy. Reunited Germany, The New Danger states, to sum up, whoever thinks that the German monopolies and their state would buy Eastern Europe is mistaken. Neither can they do so, nor do they wish to do so. They are far more specific in their requirements and are politically rather than economically motivated. The free market economy will not reach Eastern Europe in any meaningful sense, and the still highly socialized economies there will simply be set back or driven into oblivion by the acquaintance with private ownership. Strategically, though, in the imperial sense, as a source of raw materials and foodstuffs, as well as being a bridge to the east and southeast over the Balkans, right to the oil-producing regions of the Middle East, dominance over Eastern Europe is of colossal importance to the new Germany. Grossdeutschland used its early advantage very cleverly in the early 1990s. In its Eastern European expansion, it combines a determined political and economic strategy and thus presents a very serious threat to its big power rivals, not least the USA. One of the things that I've dealt with in Radio Free America program number 37, the Wilhelm Stauffer interviews, and something that I am talking about in the ongoing Radio Free America number 39 about the destabilization of the United States, and that concerns Germany's long-term plans to supplant the United States as the dominant power in the world. That involves political subversion in this country, economic espionage and economic competition, and I suspect that there may be a link between some of the terrorist incidents that have been taking place in this country and the German Nazi Galen Wackel linked factions of our own national security establishment. But that is a subject for other broadcasts. Do note in passing here that right now German attention is turning on Eastern Europe. The United States has not escaped German imperial gaze as well. One of the things that we looked at in our discussions with Professor Wilhelm Stauffer, and something that has been dealt with in excellent fashion by the very important, the vitally important Germany Alert newsletter, and that is the parallel policy being pursued by the German government on the one hand and by German Nazi groups on the other. In fact, it appears that not only are these policies parallel, but in fact the German Nazi groups are operating in conjunction with and perhaps even at the behest of the German government. I know this will appear incredible to the uninitiated listener. All I can encourage them to do is not only to get some of the archival references that I'm citing, and I'll tell you where to do that at the end of this program, but also to examine the information coming from publications like Germany Alert, the Searchlight, the pamphlet Reunited Germany, and other sources that will deal with the reemergence of German fascism and ultranationalism. In the last segment, we took a look at the German corporations buying up of opinion-forming media in Eastern Europe. They've been doing something similar in the United States, and that accounts in no small measure for the lack of adequate coverage of the reemergence of German Nazism. Now, again, Germany was never effectively denazified. The blame for that falls squarely on the United States, and indeed many of America's most powerful industrialist financiers, military, and political figures were openly and ardently pro-Nazi. Not so openly during the war, but they were pro-Nazi, and indeed the main reason for the failure of denazification was that because of the doctrinaire anti-communist and anti-labor stance of Nazism, it was viewed with great favor by the Western powers, the United States in particular. We've dealt with the very real entity of American fascism and how American fascism relates to German fascism in numerous broadcasts available from Archives on Audio. What we're going to look at next is German political policy vis-a-vis Eastern Europe and some of the countries that have emerged from the former Soviet Union. Now note again not only the parallel policies being pursued by the various German Nazi groups and by the German government, but note the extent to which these Nazi groups are apparently functioning at the behest of the German government. Indeed, Germany Alert newsletter has reported that a Verfassungsschutz, a domestic German spy agency, TAP, on various telephones yielded the fact that the BND, the German intelligence service, descended from the old Reinhard Gehlen Nazi spy outfit that was glommed onto the CIA at the end of World War II, was using various German far-right and Nazi parties as vehicles for covert operation and destabilization in Eastern Europe. We're going to begin taking a look at the parallel and apparently connected policies being pursued by German Nazi groups and by the German government right now. Returning to reunited Germany, the new danger. We read, German nationalism, both conservative and Nazi, is expanding its field of political operations across the entire former Soviet bloc, as well as the former German territories of Silesia in Poland and the Sudetenland in the Czech Republic. German nationalism has spread its wings into the Baltic states, the Ukraine, and the former USSR. The Nazi activities run closely parallel to and draw encouragement from an increasingly interventionist stance by Helmut Kohl's government, and in part are financed by German taxpayers via massive state payments to German exile organizations. Key figures in the new Nazi Drang nach Osten are Frank Hübner, 29, former Führer of the now outlawed Deutsche Alternative, fellow Gesinnungsgemeinschaft der Neue Front member Bella Ewald Altons, remember the name Ewald Altons, we're going to talk about him later, Günter Boschütz, a member of the band Nationale Offensive, and the convicted terrorist and friend of the Nazi British National Party, Manfred Raeder. By the way, we've dealt with Manfred Raeder in Radio Free America number 10, and we've dealt with the Drang nach Osten the first time this happened in Radio Free America number 2 and in Radio Free America number 37, because it would appear that the drive to the east is now being prepared again. And if that sounds like puffery or nonsense, stick around. Returning to the reunited Germany. In January of 1993, this, by the way, is of Frank Hübner, one of the Nazi party members, one of the Nazi leaders in Germany, who's been very active on behalf of German expansionism. In January of 1993, Hübner boasted to reporters from the respectable German newsweekly Der Spiegel that he was in the midst of making plans for a trip to Russia and the Ukraine, with visits to Kiev and Moscow in particular. The choice of Kiev is not accidental. There are several Nazi publications, including, The choice of Kiev is not accidental. There are several Nazi publications, including the 5,000 circulation theoretical journal Europa Vorn, are printed on the presses of the Ukrainian fascist Pomyat movement. This cooperation comes out of a deal made in 1991 with the Ukrainian journal Pomyatki Ukraini, which has an estimated circulation of around 100,000. In fact, Kiev acts like a magnet to an assortment of German fascists and Nazis. Among visitors there have been the fascist Republikaner Partei leader and ex-Waffen-SS man Franz Schoenhuber, who visited the city in 1992 and held meetings with ultra-right Ukrainian Republican Party, or URP, deputy leader Petro Rosumny, that's Rosumny, whose party's ideology embraces both outright fascism and Christian fundamentalism. Significantly, the URP supports Republikaner demands for a purely German Germany and is a direct throwback to the political flotsam and jetsam which extended a warm welcome to Hitler's hordes when they marched into the former USSR in 1941. I would add that these various Eastern European fascists were inextricably linked not only with the Reinhard Gehlen spy outfit that jumped to the CIA at the end of the war and that I've dealt with at such great length, they also became involved, in fact, they were inextricably linked with the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, part of the old World Anti-Communist League, a reworking of the Committee of Subjugated Nations formed by Adolf Hitler in 1943. And RFA 36 and RFA 37, the key references in that regard. Also numbers 14 and 15. Returning again to the reunited Germany. However, the Ukrainian links are only a small corner of the picture. A more important goal is Moscow and the establishment of collaboration with the myriad of nationalist fanatics and Nazis who shelter under the umbrella of Pomyat and other political groups and parties. Here, both the electoral and street active wings of the German Nazi scene have busied themselves. In so doing, they have made a complete somersault in Nazi ideological perceptions. Now, in the search for potential allies against the USA, the German Nazis have elevated Slavs, hitherto described as, quote, subhuman, unquote, in the fascist lexicon, into, quote, honorary Aryans, unquote, of the Eastern racial type. By the way, I would interject that I have predicted in numerous broadcasts, including and especially Radio Free America number 37, that eventually, in all probability, Russia and most of the other countries that came out of the former Soviet Union, as well as most of the other Eastern European countries, will go fascist, and they will become German allies and satellite states, and they will ally against the United States. I don't know when this process will be completed. It is already underway. I may be wrong. I hope I am, but stick around. The prediction in these quarters is for Russia and eventually virtually all the rest of Eastern Europe not only to go fascist, but to ally themselves with a newly emergent Nazi Germany, a Germany which never really threw off the yoke of Nazism. And again, the blame for that lies squarely with the United States, which has its own Nazi yoke, never even realistically contemplated, let alone thrown off. I've dealt with that in numerous archive shows. I recommend for beginners the four-part interview with John Loftus, the co-author of The Secret War Against the Jews. We're turning now to Reunited Germany, the New Danger. Once again, I'll resume with the last paragraph that I read. Here, both the electoral and street active wings of German Nazi activity inside of the former Soviet Union, here, both the electoral and street active wings of the German Nazi scene have busied themselves. In so doing, they have made a complete somersault in Nazi ideological perceptions. Now, in the search for potential allies against the USA, the German Nazis have elevated Slavs, hitherto described as, quote, subhuman, unquote, in the fascist lexicon, into honorary Aryans, unquote, of the Eastern racial type. Thus, they can now sit comfortably with Russians and feel no pangs of conscience about violating Hitler's prescription of Slav racial inferiority. Aside from Hübner, other Nazi chiefs have already worn a path to Moscow and St. Petersburg. Amongst these is Altans, who disappeared eastwards in November of 1992 after being, quote, outed, unquote, in a German gay magazine. Whether Altans' visit had been originally planned, or whether it was out of expediency because of reports that some of his Nazi friends had a bullet with his name on it, still is not known. What is certain is that Altans, financed by the notorious German-Canadian Nazi and revisionist Ernst Zundel, had an extensive itinerary holding meetings with fascists in Kaliningrad, formerly the East Prussian capital of Königsberg, and St. Petersburg. Zundel himself attended the summer 1994 conference of the Institute of Historical Review Auschwitz Liars in California and reported his recently completed trip to Russia, where he met with the Russian Liberal Democratic Party, LDP, which, despite its name, has little to do with liberalism and even less to do with democracy. So note again here, German Nazi leaders acting as de facto emissaries, and it's more actually than de facto, emissaries of German nationalist expansion in some of the countries that emerged not only from the former Soviet bloc, but in some of the countries that had previously comprised the Soviet Union. By the way, we're going to deal with Ewald Altan's connections to the Verfassungsschutz later on, either in this segment or in the next. Of German Nazi connections to Vladimir Zhirinovsky, the Russian fascist, the Reunited Germany, the New Danger comments. The LDP is a fascist party whose central campaigning themes are those of rabid anti-Semitism and defense of a, quote, white Europe, unquote. Its leader, Vladimir Zhirinovsky, polled more than 6 million votes in the 1991 Russian presidential election and over 17 million votes in the 1993 parliamentary vote. Zundel was evidently deeply impressed with Zhirinovsky and gave a glowing report on the prospects for National Socialism in Russia. Ewald Altans and three other Germans were also at the meeting. Zundel claimed, additionally, to have secured funding and an apartment in Moscow and said that Altans would soon be moving there to set up an office. Another Nazi who has dived headfirst into the ex-USSR is Gerhard Fry, the 61-year-old millionaire leader of the Deutsche Volksunion, or DVU, which is reported to have at least 26,000 members. Fry, whose Nazi press empire includes the 100,000-plus readership weekly papers Deutsche National Zeitung and Deutsche Wochenzeitung, struck up a strong rapport with Zhirinovsky, whose statements that, quote, racial and cultural mixing are genocide, unquote, he strongly admires. Interrupting Germany Alert identified both Franz Schoenhuber, a former Waffen-SS NCO, and also Gerhard Frey as two of the BND, the German Intelligence Service's conduits, to various reactionary elements in Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union. Continuing about Gerhard Frey, the individual in whose newspaper the disinformation that Lee Harvey Oswald fired at Edwin Walker was published 4 days before Marina Oswald first disclosed that supposedly for the first time to human knowledge of Gerhard Frey, Reunited Germany, the new danger goes on to comment of his impressions of Zhirinovsky. So charmed was Frey that at a DVU rally held in Mühlhausen in eastern Germany in August of 1992, he invited Zhirinovsky to speak. Normally, Frey's top international guest is the British Auschwitz liar David Irving, and the invitation to Zhirinovsky clearly indicates a shift in the DVU's priorities. At the rally, according to Der Spiegel, Zhirinovsky was greeted with acclaim by the 500-strong audience, who had turned out to hear a discussion under the title, Germany and Russia, Enemies Forever? What especially excited the assembled Nazis was Zhirinovsky's promise that, quote, the question of Northeast Prussia and Kaliningrad, unquote, would again, quoting, through mutual aid soon be resolved, at all events, as Germany wants it, unquote. These ties were further cemented at meetings between Zhirinovsky and Frey in Austria in December of 1993 and at the Moscow Congress of Zhirinovsky's Liberal Democratic Party in the spring of 1994. We've dealt with German designs on Kaliningrad, currently part of Russia, formerly part of East Prussia, and a major focus of German covert operation, including the use of various German Nazi and reactionary parties by the BND, the German Intelligence Service. Of Kaliningrad and German imperial efforts there, Reunited Germany says, already, Kaliningrad is much exercising the minds of the German Nazis who are benefiting directly from the German government's own policy of encouraging resettlement there by ethnic Germans from the Russian Volga region. German media reports in the spring of 1993 indicated that as many as 600 German families a month were arriving there. While these figures are undoubtedly exaggerated, they point to a, quote, takeover, unquote, by installments. The settlers can count on generous German government aid, both moral and financial, and organized Nazis have registered their own presence as helpers, unquote. The fascist Kaliningrad campaign got underway in earnest in March of 1993, with a big paid advertisement in the right-wing but authoritative Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung under the heading Freedom for Königsberg and demanding, quote, a German administration in northeast Prussia, unquote. The advertisement, which cost at least 10,000 Deutschmarks, was signed by an organization calling itself Unitas Germanica based in Stuttgart. In fact, Unitas Germanica is the cover name for the publishers of the 100,000 circulation weekly national revolutionary newspaper Junge Freiheit, whose editorial circle encompasses representatives from every segment of the German Nazi right, including former activists of the Republikaner and the banned in November of 1994 Vikingjugend, which functions as a bridge to ultranationalist elements in Helmut Kohl's Christian Democratic Union, Christian Social Union, CDU, CSU. Note again the continuity, political and operational, between the supposedly respectable German government of the, quote, new, unquote, Germany, and the Nazi parties that it supposedly scorns and attempts to suppress. Continuing, of the Junge Freiheit publication, the Reunited Germany comments, Junge Freiheit propagates consistently the politics of revived German imperialism and Grossdeutschland. When Germany's treaty with Poland was signed after much dithering by Kohl, the paper organized a spectacular stunt in which two planes flew over Bonn, trailing massive streamers with the messages, renunciation of German claims is treason and, quote, Silesia stays ours, unquote. The propaganda gimmick was reported in the German press. What was omitted was that it was conducted in support of a campaign launched by the Deutsche Bank's strategist Wilhelm Christians for the transformation of Kaliningrad into a, quote, Baltic industrial region, unquote, with German, quote, help, unquote. Note again the continuity between German governmental, German economic, and German Nazi policy, or the policies of German Nazi groups, as we have seen and will continue to see, apparently working at the behest of the German government. Note again Deutsche Bank and German Nazi strategy here, coordinated and apparent and quite possibly directly connected. More about Junge Freiheit from Reunited Germany, the new danger. Later, JF dropped all pretense to economic niceties and unveiled its real politics. In the January 1992 edition of JF, it was claimed that there had been a, quote, Holocaust, unquote, in East Prussia, unquote, in 1945, perpetrated by the Red Army against the German population. Now, said Junge Freiheit in its January 1992 edition, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, quote, the chances of a German Königsberg would never be greater, unquote. Where Junge Freiheit and Deutsche Bank officials led, Nazis followed, taking their cue from the appeals for assistance to the German population in Kaliningrad. For example, it was reported in the liberal Frankfurter Rundschau on January 9th of 1993 that, quote, right radical forces are trying to win influence among the ethnic Germans in Kaliningrad. We're going to next examine two of the leaders who have been principally, and actually the intelligence background of one of the leaders, principally involved as vanguards of German imperialism. And again, what we see here is German Nazis basically acting in concert with, and in all probability as direct extensions of, German governmental policy and the synthesis of political, economic, and national security policy in Germany, and in turn the synthesis of those various aspects of policy with the German neo-Nazi agenda should be noted here, and is perhaps the most significant aspect of these various segments. And note the almost total continuity between German policy in all of those areas under Hitler and the current German policy. And note above all that this is not being reported by the people who should be reporting it. What we're going to do next is to take a look at the Germany Alert newsletter and some information about Ewald Altans, who, as we've seen in the past, was a protege of Otto Ernst Rehmer, a very important SS man and the individual who executed the July 20th, 1944 conspirators against Adolf Hitler. Rehmer himself was a member of the Liebstädter Adolf Hitler, a feared SS division which grew out of Hitler's personal guards. The information for how to subscribe to the Germany Alert newsletter follows directly.
If you are interested in receiving the Germany Alert newsletter via the Internet, you can do so by sending an email to ga-request@webcom.com and simply including the word subscribe in your note. That's email to ga-request@webcom.com. with the word subscribe in your message text. You can also access the Germany Alert newsletter via the World Wide Web at http://www.webcom.com/tildechantry/GA. That's all lowercase letters, http://www.webcom.com/tilde/chantry/GA, as in Germany Alert. Check it out.
And again, Germany Alert is available on the World Wide Web. Also, they have a fax number in the East Bay. That's 510-472-6769. That's 510-472-6769. We're going to turn next to the Germany Alert of June 10th of 1995. In the July 10th, 1995 issue of Germany Alert, 7/10/95. In the 7/10/95 issue, we find the following story about the aforementioned Ewald Altans, one of the German Nazi leaders who is in the vanguard of German expansionist efforts in the East. And according to an article in Der Spiegel, a respected German news weekly, for years Ewald Altans has been an agent of the Verfassungsschutz, a domestic German intelligence agency. Reading now from Germany Alert, Dateline Berlin, this story is entitled, Reports Assert Nazi Leader Altans Was German Spy. It reads in part, a report in the new edition of Der Spiegel, the newsweekly, claims that Nazi leader Ewald Altans was a top informer for the Bavarian Regional International Espionage Agency for Forschungsschutz, or VS, from 1990 through 1994. As of late Sunday, the report had not been denied by either the VS or Altans. Der Spiegel asserts that Altans provided the VS with detailed reports on the German Nazi movement and on Nazi connections to the U.S. and Russia. Altans is currently on trial in Berlin for statements he made denying that the Holocaust ever happened. The statements came in a notorious film biography of the Nazi leader, which was made partially at government expense. Profession Neo-Nazi led to an international outcry and pressure on the German government to arrest Altans. He was arrested and has been awaiting trial at the Berlin Moabit prison since December of last year. Skipping down, but if Altan's claim that he abandoned Nazi ideology in 1990 were true, and if the report in Der Spiegel is accurate, it would mean that Altan's was not just a spy within the Nazi movement, but a major government-run agent provocateur. For under Altan's leadership, German Nazis increased their following an estimated 1,000%. Groups which Altan's headed have been linked to the murders of foreigners, countless firebombings of refugee homes, and a growing number of anti-Semitic hate attacks. Altan's has never been charged in connection with the pogroms which he helped direct and foster throughout Germany. In addition, Altan's, who is fluent in English and French, was one of the key Nazi leaders to spread the hate ideology from Germany throughout Europe to the U.S. and to Russia. During at least one North American visit, Altan's met with members of the Michigan militia, some of whom have been investigated in connection with the Oklahoma City bombing. But if Altan's claim and Der Spiegel are proven correct, all of his Nazi organizational efforts since 1990 could have been carried out under orders of Germany's espionage agency. There have been numerous reports over the past 4 years that the German government was behind the resurge in fascist ideology, but all have been firmly denied. Yet a key witness in the case against four young Germans on trial for the Nazi firebomb murder of a Turkish family in Solingen was excused from testimony after he showed evidence that he was an agent for the Verfassungsschutz. That's the same intelligence agency that Ewald Altans, according to Der Spiegel, has been an operative for quite some time. What we're going to do next is to listen to information about how to subscribe to the Searchlight magazine and also how to obtain Reunited Germany, The New Danger.
To subscribe to The Searchlight, a British anti-fascist publication, write to Searchlight Magazine Limited, 37B New Cavendish Street, London, W1M8JR, or phone 011-4471-284-4040. Or fax 011-4471-284-4410. That's the Searchlight Magazine Limited, 37B, New Cavendish Street, London, W1M8JR, phone 011-4471-284-4040, or fax at 011-4471-284-4410.
That again for subscription information for the Searchlight magazine. Also, that is the address to contact to get a hold of Reunited Germany, The New Danger. I have made various references to archival programs. Those are available from a tape duplication service. More about that right now.
Tape cassettes of Dave Emery's archive documentaries and weekly One Step Beyond programs are available from a tape duplication service. The service is Archives on Audio, and you can contact them at Post Office Box 170023, San Francisco, California, 94117-0023. The phone number is area code 415-346-1840. Once again, that's P.O. Box 170023, San Francisco, California, 94117-0023. The phone number and area code are 415-346-1840. A 12-page catalog listing and describing each archive show is available.
And again, neither myself nor the station makes money out of this arrangement. That concludes this particular segment. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.